You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. This is Jeff Martin alongside Brian Berga. Brian.
Yep.
How you doing, man? How's everything going?
Well, I'm doing good, as I am the trendsetter of the show.
I'm going to say the Brian Berga.
The Brian Berga, too. Again, you know, catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. And it's great to be alongside my tag team partner and one member of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff Martin. I'm doing good, man. I mean, compared to watching Money in the Bank and then watching Raw, it's amazing how, I wouldn't say they're both parallel. We get ups and downs when we watch this business, as you know. And with the most thing that I've become not surprised at, that you could end Money in the Bank the way you did it on a pretty high and a, oh my God, I can't believe that happened, to Raw where you kind of saw that coming. Towards the end. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I totally agree with you. The hardest part for me, though, was on Sunday to try to pick either I'm going to watch Game 7 of the NBA Finals or if I'm going to choose to watch Money in the Bank and watch the start of it. Now, I know that I have the network and I can, you know, tune in whenever I want to, but, you know, to have those two things at the same time was kind of hard to do, but, you know, I tried to do the best I could, but it's kind of tough. You either pick Warriors and Cavs or do you pick Money in the Bank and the opening matches?
I definitely want to see Money in the Bank because I was so interested in terms of the storylines. He had two possible WrestleMania main events going in. He had John Cena and AJ Styles. I was just more wanting to see that more than the Cavs and the Warriors because, granted, this could have been historic with the Cavs winning the NBA championship, but how many times did you see AJ Styles in the WWE ring against the face of the WWE, John Cena? Had to see it. And then with the whole Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, the way they were feuding it, how is it going to end up? Because like I told you, they were kind of building this that it would be kind of disappointing if Seth Rollins didn't win the title. To me, I picked that over basketball. Plus, I just don't like basketball.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say you don't like basketball, so that's why you're not going
to. But I was trying to build it more for professional wrestling was more my passion at that time.
I totally agreed with you, man. And but, you know, shout out to Cleveland, to the Cavaliers fans,
to
Cleveland for finally winning a championship after so many years of just brutal, disgusting, disgraceful losses.
Do you think it was the Warriors that lost it or the Cavaliers that won it?
Man, I will say this. I say that LeBron really came out fighting the last three games, but I'm going to say that the Warriors just, I don't know what happened. And that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, man, you know, it was more on the Warriors to me. And what exactly happened? Man, I just tell you, man, Cleveland played defense like a mother. You know what I mean? They just stopped Curry, stop Thompson, and you know what? The King came out on top.
He did, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of basketball experts and fans who'll be like, well, how could you say that? The Cavs won. LeBron James was amazing. He dominated the fourth quarter. Yes, true, but when I looked at it, it was about 89-89 for a good 4 minutes, and the Warriors had ample opportunities. And again, when you're missing your shots and wide open shots like that, I'm not
addressing the turnovers,
three-pointers.
Oh.
It kills you. It kills you. And a great and a good team, in this case, in a seven-game series, the better team wins, they're going to come out on top, and that's what Cleveland did. And then what a way to end it with Kyrie Irving being defended by Stephen Curry and basically doing the same move that Stephen Curry does on everybody else, you know, kind of steps back, drains a three. There you go. Basically, the game is over after
NBA
that.
Title, Game 7 goes to Cleveland. The Cavs win. And, hey, dude, what are you doing? Behind the back passes.
But it all goes back to wrestling,
quarter,
though, Jeff. It all goes back to wrestling because as LeBron James, the king of the NBA, comes off the airplane to celebrate with all his Clevelanders or the land, you know, Believe Land, what's he wearing? An Ultimate Warrior t-shirt.
A final shot to the Golden State Warriors.
Kevin Love, who basically was kind of packing his bags out of Cleveland if they lost this series, is wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin 316, chugging down beers with a Smoking Skull belt. So they're all wrestling.
It all has something to do with wrestling.
It all comes back to it.
But now we put a ribbon on the NBA Finals.
Thank God.
It was really too long, man. Really way too long.
Too long in between games. It was just way too long,
yeah.
Yes.
And so we head into Money in the Bank. And, of course, rumors came out just yesterday about Roman Reigns and that whole fiasco about failing the wellness policy, suspended 30 days. And you were kind of thinking in the main event, man, Seth Rollins beat the guy clean. And at first I was telling you, Brian, there's kind of like not the kind of cohesion that I thought. Kind of looked like a match that looked better on paper than if you actually saw it in the ring. And it actually got better. And then Roman Reigns loses to Seth Rollins, and I was shocked. I was shocked, but the more shocking thing was that Dean Ambrose cashes in his Money in the Bank, and the next thing you know, he's the WWE champion.
That was a shocking moment. I mean, when we saw him win Money at the Bank, which, again, I thought that was leaning more towards Kevin Owens.
So did I.
So when it didn't happen, I was a little disappointed. But then I said to you, as it happened, I was like, Jeff, well, you know, believe it or not, this is probably the perfect thing that could have happened to Dean Ambrose. Because out of all the failures he's had, you know, with a match with Brock Lesnar and, you know, title matches against Seth Rollins and all this stuff that he was kind of fizzling out. And he wasn't becoming that important. And I thought his validity was really dying down. I don't even know if that's a word, validity, but I'm going to use it.
No, it is. It is. So use it.
So I'm going to use legitimacy. So his legitimacy wasn't there. And so when this happened, I'm like, wow, what a great way of putting yourself right back. And I'll give kudos to the writing staff, whoever came up with that. Now, granted, was it done last minute? I don't know, but they still did it anyway. It puts him right back in the echelon of the top tier guys because now he has a guaranteed contract. Didn't think it was going to happen. I kind of jokingly said with you because he mentioned it, the go home Raw before, that he was going to do that. Most of the times we know as wrestling fans through our experience, usually if they say something's going to happen, it probably is not going to. And it did, and you couldn't have picked a perfect moment. Seth Rollins had his moment again where he was able to become the WWE World Heavyweight Champion again for a second time. Vindication for everything he had gone through the 7 months with the ACL and meniscus tear. And what a great chance for storyline-wise, Dean Ambrose to stick it right back to Seth Rollins after what Seth Rollins did to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 31. So it worked out well.
So at the end of the night, he's holding the belt up high. He is your new WWE champion. And then...
And you protect Roman Reigns. In a way, you protect him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of weird because how does that protect Roman Reigns when he got pinned? When he got pinned clean? See, I mixed the word.
Yes, he got pinned clean. But when we see, for example, John Cena lose, right? Which I think the only equivalent I could say would be when he fought Daniel Bryan in SummerSlam when he had the issue with his elbow. We knew that was going to happen and come along, but when a big top guy like Roman Reigns loses, he didn't lose to one pedigree. He lost to three pedigrees it took to put him away. So, yes, he lost clean, 1, 2, 3. There was no antics or anything like that, outside interference. But still, it shows that, hey, it's not easy to beat this guy. So, you know, I understand your point of view, but at the same time, they're going to protect their investment as much as they can, theoretically. And plus, losing to Seth Rollins isn't a bad thing. Now, if you lost to AJ Styles, maybe that was the debate. Maybe makes Roman look bad. But in this case, it was fine by me.
Yeah, but here's my question to you is, how shocking was it before we knew about the wellness policy failure that he failed? We don't know when it happened, but it happened in the last few days. Don't you think it's a little shocking that a guy that you built up so long that they just end just like that? But again, it's not WWE's fault. It may be just that he just failed a policy at that time.
Well, before we found out about the whole drug testing policy or the wellness policy that Roman Reigns had failed, which the WWE knew kind of prior to Money in the Bank, I kind of thought this was occurring. I even said to you, oh, wow, that's shocking. He pinned him. I was expecting him to kick out. It could have been in my mind that I think this Roman Reigns experience, the Roman Empire, as he calls it, didn't live up to its billing. The crowd was completely against it. Now, they've been against John Cena before, and that hasn't stopped the WWE. But I really feel this experiment was faltering, and maybe the WWE was trying to just go in a different direction to save their investment. I mean, that was my mindset until we found out later on the following day what had happened with Roman Reigns. But again, I've told you this before, and I'll say it again, and we'll talk to Anthony Mango about this as well. I think it's a blessing in disguise for Roman Reigns. He needs to be off TV now for a while.
I mean, we got a great show for you. We have Anthony Mango joining us in a few minutes, and we'll get it more in depth on Roman Reigns. But the question to you is this, are you mad at Roman Reigns? Or are you like, man, you made me waste my money at WrestleMania, or I had to sit through that match with you in Triple H to validify you becoming the man at the biggest WrestleMania of all time, and now you go and you fail a drug test?
Well, maybe if you're a talent or like one of the higher ups in WWE, you're more angry at Roman Reigns for this. I can only speak for myself, and I want to hear your opinion on this. For me, I'm not invested in Roman Reigns. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, look at this now. If things couldn't get any worse for Roman Reigns. No, people are saying, what do you mean by worse? He's the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He's on top. He's the guy. He's getting over on these, you know, supposed veterans that have more experience than he does in the ring. Okay, granted that. But then this happens, wow, just another hill for him to have to climb over, and the WWE is going to be kind of forcing, feeding this down our throat. I was just surprised with the suspension. But again, the WWE in some way has to make themselves look good in the public eye. Now, again, talking about how they might have known about this beforehand and still did it anyway, I kind of get why they did it. But also, you know, right now this could be the best thing for Roman. I'm not disappointed. If I'm a writer for this staff, I'm like, oh, thank goodness he's gone for 30 days. That gives me 30 days to figure out what to do with this guy now. That's my perspective. What about you?
Well, I can't be mad at Roman Reigns. He made a mistake.
What about disappointed? Were you disappointed in him?
Oh, I was disappointed.
He owned the mistake.
He owned the mistake. So I'm not going to be disappointed. Disappointed I am in the fact that, you know, he had that big push at Mania. And, you know, everything, all this was leading for him to be the guy. So, you know, we kind of had to go through the whole thing on the whole trip together with us, Roman Reigns, having to, you know, come to the realization that he was the guy.
And you're one of the few that actually was trying to give Roman Reigns a chance.
And I give him credit. To me, I'm not as hard as maybe you were on him. I believe that he did improve. I don't know how much credit you want to give AJ Styles. Everyone gives AJ 60-40, 90-10. But you know what? I think Roman Reigns held his own. I think he got better. Now, I think he wasn't his worst enemy, but where I feel for the guy is a company guy. The guy is not going to bite the hand that feeds him. The guy is not going to say, I'm not going to read this that you wrote for me. No, he's just trying to go with the flow. The guy is just trying to try to please everybody. So I think in that aspect, he should have picked a hill to die on as far as whether it's, hey, I don't want to read it like this, or let me be me. But the mistake, I think, where the WWE let him down is, we're the fans. We're not going to go with something that you force feed down our throat. The best thing is most faces come out as heels first and foremost. People think that they become cool. People think that, oh, you know.
Well, he did start off as a heel.
Exactly, you know, with the Shield. And it got over, and then, yeah, he started in as a heel. And it gets cool. But when you force feed something, come on, the smart wrestling fan is not going to go for it. So the best thing they should have done by him was to make him a heel. And like you said, I think this could be a blessing in disguise, because not the fact that I don't want him to bring up the drug policy. I don't want that to be a reason why he's a heel. Oh, I had to juice because, or we don't know what he did.
We don't know what drug he took.
No, but I don't think he should use that as the reason to turn heel. But I think that they have a shot here because Roman Reigns did not screw Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose yet. The only person left to screw anybody, and we're talking about not, you know, we're talking about like in the ring and for titles here. And the only person left to screw anybody is Roman Reigns. So if you saw Monday Night Raw when he told the guy to just sit down and drink his beer,
you could tell
that they were going into that gray, right? So to me, the best thing they do is that Roman Reigns finds a way to screw his best friend Dean Ambrose.
Well, I think from a previous interview we had with Justin Barrasso, he said you can't be an in-betweener.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing when he spoke to Taz from the Taz show. It's true. You can't be an in-betweener type of guy. You're just going to get, I wouldn't say a guy like Roman Reigns' statue will get lost in the shuffle. But you know, let me steal a quote from Vince McMahon, if I may.
Sure, right? You may. Go ahead.
Roman didn't screw Seth Rollins, nor did he screw Dean Ambrose. Roman Reigns screwed Roman Reigns. And the reason why I say he screwed himself is, granted, you know, JR mentioned in one of his blogs too, you know, with all these athletes, when you're in that type of pressure, we don't know what it's like to be in the type of pressure Roman Reigns or being a top guy or face of a company is. I mean, we're the face of our own company here, so there's no pressure because, hey, we know how to handle it. But in Roman Reigns' case, you have to be conscious of what you're putting in your body. And again, we don't know the details of it, but you have to be conscious of all that stuff, and you can't do that, especially if you're the top guy. I mean, if John Cena is a standard bearer, John Cena would never put himself in that type of situation. So
yeah, but you don't know if they actually covered up anything for Cena, you know.
We don't, but again, it's always the what ifs and speculations. We can go about that all night. But in this case for Roman Reigns, it's theoretically Roman should be it, take it as a disappointment. The WWE should be more upset with him than anything because it ruins and screws up their plans. And in terms of the fans, I think they'll be disappointed, but they'll come around because all the fans of Roman Reigns are, you know, kids under their teenagers, their little kids wearing the Roman Empire shirts. So they're always going to be behind him because, again, it's their hero. I think it's us who are the older generation. Sorry, Jeff, not to mean to make us sound old. But
call me Grandpa there.
Exactly, and you have to turn your hearing aid a little bit up more. But we're going to get over it because right now what we want is something fresh, something different. And the guy that you and I always talk about, we want things to organically happen. Dean Ambrose right now is in a great situation where he kind of is our like theoretical champion or Daniel Bryan or just that – everyday type of guy who's now the champion, and we're going to get behind him because the crowd loves him.
It totally won me over.
I don't like his music, but the crowd loves him.
Yeah, that's one thing that he's got to change, the music. That thing is having like your fingernails on a chalkboard and just go, it just, oh man, it just, you know, well, we'll see if they change it. But I think he won me over when he was in the taxi cab and he almost forgot that the title was in the taxi cab. Kind of seems like something I would do, you know?
So
you're laughing because you know that actually might happen.
That's happened, yes. Yeah. We bought a title at WrestleMania and we're about to leave. Oh, Jeff, I almost forgot. I left it in the trunk. Yeah. So
you can,
sure
relate,
you can relate to Dean Ambrose.
You can relate to Dean Ambrose, and I think that's why people like him. And I think as much as we were bitching about the fact that, oh, he's losing all the time, I think kind of made us sympathize with him. And then he finally backed up his promise.
Yeah, and now they're still promoting this triple threat match. Who knows what happened? I think it'll still happen. The outcome, we'll talk about it as the weeks go by with this triple match pertains when they face Battleground. It'll be a Shield reunion. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. But one gripe I have to share with you, Jeff, is the mere fact that I was so disappointed. And I was disappointed in the AJ Styles Cena and the way it ended. I thought it was kind of a slow build. I don't know if you watched the full match, but the full match was kind of unorthodox. Looks like Cena was really, I don't know, it didn't look like they meshed well together, but everybody says they love the match.
I had no problem with the match. I liked the match, actually. Okay. I think Cena, again, showed that when he's in the ring with a guy the likes of AJ Styles or Kevin Owens, I think that he, I would say, rises to the top, or he rises his game, and I really didn't see any problems. Yes, could you tell that he called a couple spots there with AJ Styles? Yeah, yeah. You could hear it.
It's going to be on Botchamania right there,
but
talking too much.
But again, I have no issue with the match. I enjoyed it. Was it Roman Reigns, AJ Styles? No. But again, he's the heel. You know the heel's not going to win clean over John Cena. Maybe it bothers you if, in the long run, AJ Styles doesn't end up winning the feud. But for now, just for the present, I'm going to say that I like the match and I like the ending.
No, but what I said to you before, I don't mind that if AJ Styles doesn't win clean. Because again, that makes complete sense what you just said. I just don't like the fact that the Bullet Club was there. Gallows and Anderson. Because it just makes it look worse. You know, if AJ Styles cheated by removing a turnbuckle pad or using, you know, steel chair when the ref wasn't looking, or knocked down the ref and just did something with malice and that the true heel thing, yes, I could live with it. But the mere fact that he needs his buddies to help him win.
But isn't that like the true kind of definition of a heel, that he would need his club, like the guys to come help him out?
I guess because the fact that AJ Styles is not a young buck anymore, no pun intended to the young bucks, but the mere fact that he has got to win one of these big matches on his own. He's got to. I mean, you could say in his career, the one big match he's won was the number one contendership. Okay, there were four other guys in there. When he's going to be a top star on his own? Now, again, Seth Rollins was doing the same thing in his title reign. I get it. But the mere fact that when it came, and I'm saying mere fact a lot, but when it came to him beating John Cena clean one time, he did. And I just think that you have to have that in order for AJ to be a little bit more believable
I think
progress himself in his career, which is going to be a short one in the WWE.
Maybe. But I think that if you come at me with this same question and you come at me with the same gripe with me at SummerSlam, I will totally agree with you. I will totally say, Brian, you know what? You're right. But I think for now, I'm going to take it as is. And I think that out of all the other feuds, I think AJ is actually going to come out on top in this feud.
What do you think about AJ's promos? Do you think he's doing well in his
promos? Better.
You think so?
Gotten better. You're Mr. Promo guy. You're Mr. like, I'm hard on you as a promo. You don't think he's gotten better?
AJ's doing great for what AJ does. I just think that John is taking, I don't know if he's doing that on purpose, but taking shots that are like, whoa, he's going there. I just feel like I need something more. I need AJ to make this more personal than just, you know, the same old thing that we see.
Gotcha.
Your embarrassment in the ring.
Yeah.
I can wrestle. I can run circles around you. I want AJ to get personal with John. I mean, what's this gripe about, really? I still don't know. For me, at least, I don't know what this gripe's about and why AJ is so personally taking it against John. I know what John's thought is on AJ. I shouldn't hear from the other side. But again, AJ's doing good. I think he's doing great. He did a great job of the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. I think it was an amazing podcast. His best.
The best Stone Cold podcast in a long time. I can't remember when the last good one was. Maybe with Mr. McMahon, but you really learned a lot about AJ Styles. You heard about the whole growing up as a child, the abuse, the drinking on his father's part, and then just his passion for being the best and taking whatever he's been given and doing the best he can with it. And that's the most that I got out of the whole interview with Stone Cold. Plus, man, Stone Cold Steve Austin is a huge fan of AJ Styles. I haven't seen Stone Cold go gaga over somebody like that in quite a long time.
But I think he understands AJ's path. I mean, they kind of shared similar roads, I would say, in the sense that they were always told they would have a certain ceiling, and both AJ and Stone Cold, different body types, obviously different styles in the ring, but it broke those ceilings and never going to be told you can only do this and you can only do that. Something I got out of that was AJ has a tremendous work ethic, which I already knew, but it was just great to hear about the stuff he did. Huge family man.
And a heck of a guy too, though. Just a good guy.
And he's the kind of guy too, then no doubt in my mind that he would, you know, take the shirt off his back and give it to you. I mean, I just get that sense from AJ. I've never met him personally, but from the people I know that have related and spoken to him, he's just that type of person too.
To me, the story that always gets to me is the Seth Rollins story on his documentary.
Exactly.
The one where Rollins wanted to pay for dinner when they went out, and AJ was like, no, just remember for the next guy. And to me, that just shows you the kind of guy that AJ Styles is. You know, here's a guy that didn't, at that point, wasn't making that much, you know, and, you know, was able to still, you know, I got dinner, you know, but just remember for the next guy, or just, you know, just so that you remember. And
yeah, I mean, his whole message was which just shows AJ's humbleness and wanting to always have all the other talent around him to remember to stay humbled. Because at the end of the day, you can shoot yourself up to the top as high as you can go, but eventually everybody comes down. So
yeah.
He just wanted to make sure he made that point with Seth Rollins, young in his career. He's like 19, I think, at that time.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, we covered AJ Styles in the podcast, and we think AJ Styles has a bright future ahead, especially as we near the brand extension. And, you know, we talked about Dean Ambrose, the kind of Money in the Bank and the main event kind of like intertwine into one thing. But again, I really thought Kevin Owens was going to be the man before last week. So, you know, he's come close. And I think there will be, if it's not this year, next year, there will be.
It was an underrated ladder match, and yeah. Kevin Owens showed a lot in it. Yeah. And like you said, it's only a matter of time.
And other matches, maybe to delve into, maybe, you know, kind of tough. I mean, Natalia turned on Becky Lynch. What's new for Becky Lynch? She just keeps getting.
I just want to console that little ass kicker and just hold her in my arms and say, it's all
right.
It's
going to be okay.
God love her. That I would just want to be there for Becky. I really do. But again, with that same point that you're making there, it just makes the crowd, I feel, give more investment into Becky, feeling sorry for her and investing to make sure, wanting her to succeed. Because I hear that she's getting, you know, at live events, she's getting loud ovations. Even at events like, you know, we just saw Money in the Bank and other like Raws and SmackDowns, she's getting huge pops. So people want her to succeed and be good because I don't think she's had the same type of success as a Charlotte has, or maybe given the opportunity as a Charlotte or a Sasha Banks has. And hey, it's so great to see Sasha Banks, your girl, back.
Oh, man, does she look lovely or what on Monday night?
She steals my breath. She really does. I'm being honest here because she is that stunningly beautiful. And the thing that I think makes me go gaga over, I'm sure if I met Sasha Banks in person, I'd be giggling like a schoolgirl, which the mere fact that
you like the nerd in her. That's what it is. You like the nerd in her
that's
outside
the room.
That is
so attractive, but also it makes her more relatable.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, sometimes Jeffy and I, we get starstruck a little bit, but these are just regular people. And when you find out that stuff about Sasha Banks, and she has a good heart as well, you fall more for them in terms, I'm not in love with her, but you fall more in for that fact that you want them to succeed. And the mere fact that Sasha's so good in the ring. And I'll be the first one to say, I didn't give her much credit in NXT until she had the title run. And I was like, wow, she can go and she wants to do it. So, you know, I feel happy that Sasha's back. And bring some prestige back.
Can
to that
she stay healthy
division.
Though? Can she stay healthy for SummerSlam? Because the big thing is going to be, you know, whether she can, you know, she can stay healthy till SummerSlam in her match with Charlotte, because that's where things are leading to. And yeah, Natalia being a heel now, does it make sense in the long run? I don't know why she became a heel. Maybe it's to, you know, she said to focus on herself. But you know, again, and the only
they
thing
said that wasn't the original plan, so I don't know what the plan was.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Natalya and Becky Lynch were the lovable losers. So either or, you're going to feel compassion for one of those girls. You know, it's still.
I thought the lovable losers were the Golden Truth.
Right?
They're the lovable losers. Now they've won a match, and I'm not interested anymore.
How about that match, dude, with Finn, with Breezango? What was it?
Breezango.
Breezango? I mean, Jesus.
It's tough. I mean, a guy like Fandango and Tyler Breeze, talented
doing
guys.
The best they can with what they get, right?
Hey, at the end of the day, it's like what AJ said in the podcast. You got to work what you have, or like a Damian Sandow, work what you have and do the best you can, and that's all you can ask for.
How about Titus O'Neil and Rusev?
Next.
Yeah.
Moving on. It really wasn't anything special. It was a fight.
So, my friend, that's why I argue with you that you should have watched the Cavs and Warriors up until AJ Styles and the Money in the Bank.
No, because I was afraid I was going to fall asleep before I saw those events, even though it's on the network and I can watch it anytime.
Still, and not to mention that, you had U.S. Open Golf and Father's Day. It was a crazy day, and I was just too pooped to afterwards, man.
We're both exhausted. We have crazy schedules, which a lot of people don't realize. But again, you're not here to listen about our crazy schedules. We want to hear from you guys, your comments. You know, we're going to give you updated on guests we're going to have eventually on the High Spot Podcast Twitter account, at High Spot Podcast. Jeff, one thing I wanted to bring up to you real quick was the mere fact that we're soon approaching, very quickly, it's going to happen regardless whether we want to or not, the brand extension is going to happen. And I'm dreading it. I got like pains in my stomach to even think about it. I'm not sleeping at night. I'm waking up in cold sweats. It's going to happen, man. Does it really matter in terms of a general manager? They keep saying there's going to be a general manager for each show. I don't understand why they would be taking applications from like Kane or Johnny Laurinaitis or Theodore Long, because it really feels like it's going to be inevitable. It's going to be Stephanie and Shane running one of the two shows.
It's kind of like they want to reminisce and they kind of want to go back to the old GMs. I'm waiting for maybe Vicky Guerrero to show up on a Raw sooner.
Excuse me!
Exactly. I just think it's a way for them to reminisce about the old general managers and, you know, realize that either Shane's going to run SmackDown or Stephanie's going to run Raw, or it's going to be vice versa.
Let's put you in Vince's shoes. Who do you think should run each show and why? I mean, SmackDown's going to be live now. It's probably going to be a two-hour show still. It's going to be live right after Raw. Who do you have running SmackDown? Do you have Stephanie running Raw and then Shane?
I think Shane should run Raw and Stephanie should do SmackDown just because of the fact that Shane came here.
He's done it before, though.
But Shane came here to run Raw, the flagship. So if you see him on SmackDown, and now that she's actually wanting to be on SmackDown, it just, to me, it's kind of, you know, again, doesn't make any sense to me.
The big question, if it's done right, do you think it can help establish other stars and other talent and kind of give them a name if it's done properly, if them given the ample time with separate rosters now?
If it's done right, yes. But do I think it's going to be done right? No.
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 Same old, right? History.
Same old, same old.
History tends to repeat itself, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of NXT, though, Jeff, something that we didn't get a chance to speak on before, we thought it was inevitable if Finn Balor was coming up to the main roster after he had lost to Samoa Joe in the rematch for the NXT championship in a steel cage match. And my God, NXT does a great job of basically building up these takeover specials. Granted, they don't do this every week because then it'd be saturated. But now it looks like he's going to be going one-on-one with a guy that we're crazy about, Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Does it serve to be done at a takeover? Or at this point, should Finn just be coming up to the main roster?
Well, I think that they're going to wait till after the draft to bring in Finn Balor. I think that, the draft, we found out it's July 19th. So if they do hold the Nakamura-Balor match to maybe, say, TakeOver Brooklyn, you know maybe he's still going to be part of the NXT roster by the time we get to Brooklyn. So maybe he doesn't get drafted, right?
So going. I hope he's there.
You know, so I thought Nakamura was going to fight Samoa Joe. I don't know who the number one contender is for the NXT championship right now.
Who would you see on the roster right now if you had to? Hit him with somebody else. I mean, I know you had Nakamura in your sights, but now that's kind of been taken off the table.
I don't know if Aries, but Aries looks like he's going to be pitted against No Way Jose. So I really don't know who
Really?
Yeah. It looks like it. I don't want to spoil anything, but it looks like a future battle between those two is in Aries' future, the greatest man that ever lived. But I don't know who the clear-cut number one contender is for the NXT championship. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe it'll all be a rude awakening.
Be a perfect moment if Apollo Crews was still part of the NXT roster for him to jump into this right now and challenge Samoa Joe. Now, the only thing I can think of is maybe Bobby Roode.
That's why I said rude awakening.
Oh, wow. I did not see that.
And how great was it to see Bobby Roode debut at the Download Festival? Ah, man. And they know how to do it right, man. They know how to do it right.
They do, man. They do. And speaking of which, anything else we're missing on in terms of, you know, Battleground is obviously the next event coming up. We can kind of see where storylines
are going. That's a month away, dude. Can you believe that's a month away?
I can't even imagine that.
I had to do a double take because I was like, wait a minute, it's the 19th. Wait a minute, it's like, whoa, like it's so far away. We'll already be into the draft once it goes by. So no. No, I take that back.
No, it's after the draft.
It's after the draft. No. July 24th.
July 24th is Battleground. Yeah, so the 19th will be the draft live. It'll be on SmackDown Live, the first episode live. A lot of crazy things going on in the WWE right now.
Going to be a busy July, and of course, we don't need to forget, of course, not forget, the Cruiserweight Classic. It's coming on the WWE Network July 13th, and we find out that Mauro Ranallo and, yes, Daniel Bryan will be...
I was about to say, I'm doing it?
Well, no, that'd be news to me, but they will be doing the commentary for... the Cruiserweight Classic, and you think of the names here, Zack Sabre Jr., you think of just all these very talented Cruiserweights. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting, and again, it's going to be something that's going to be must-watch that Triple H has done a great job in recruiting.
The anticipation for this has been something that I've been looking forward to, and believe it or not, Jeff, I didn't think it was ever going to happen because we kept hearing about it, and we're waiting for the announcement to come along. Now it's finally going to happen to see it in there. It's going to be interesting to see all these young, talented individuals that we don't see from other promotions compete in this event, because it's just talking about, going back to Triple H, it's about building for the future. And if you're a fan of NXT right now and you're looking at these cruiserweights, future looks pretty bright, and I can't wait to see it. It's going to be a lot of high-packed, high-flying action.
Well, high impact, you're right. It's going to be great. And again, we're looking forward to it. July is going to be a busy month if you're a fan of the WWE.
And of course, you're a fan of the High Spot podcast, too.
Oh, yeah. Tons of great guests. And, we're going to get started now with Anthony Mango. We had a chance to talk to Anthony. And you know what? It's not as easy as it sounds to say his Twitter handle.
Yeah, Jeff, it was tough because, Anthony does a lot of things. And he's a writer, he is a host, he writes for Bleacher Report, he has a website, smarkoutmoment.com. And again, if you guys want to catch him on Twitter and see all the stuff he's doing and connected to, you can catch him on his Twitter handle, at TonyMango. It's exactly how I pronounced it. I'm not going to say it again, because if not, I'm going to mess it up. But again, Jeff and I were very fortunate enough to have him and speak to him, being another diehard wrestling fan like us, and talk to him about everything that was going on. And the first things we wanted to ask him about was, the breaking news that occurred that we kind of started everything off about the whole Roman Reigns 30-day suspension and how this affects now things going into Battleground in the WWE. So we were able to talk to Anthony Mango, and this is what he had to say.
It's really, it's going to make things very, very different going forward, that's for sure.
Anthony, it's Brian here. Were you more shocked or, I remember when I found it out and I looked at it, I was like, no way. Are you kidding me? I mean, I wasn't looking at it from the perspective of, I know the WWE has invested a lot of money into Roman Reigns. They're his guy, as he likes to say, his promo, which I think is terrible, by the way, and really stale and old. But the mere fact that this has happened now, he's kind of out of the limelight. Could this possibly maybe be a blessing in disguise? I mean, he's still got a big hill to climb when he comes back, but maybe take him out of the limelight for a little bit for something like this?
Yeah, I mean, my first reaction was, this is utter BS. Just, scuttlebutt that you hear on the dirt sheets, all this kind of nonsense. People that don't like him are just spreading rumors and such. But once it came out as true, instantly the first thing I thought of after that was, they need to turn him heel. This should be that one chance that they get where, and I wrote an article about this out there, so I'm going to kind of repeat myself a little bit here. But when he comes back, he can't be the baby face that's like the role model. You can't take a guy who's doing drugs, going against the company's policies, and have him go, yep, sorry, my bad, but you're all going to cheer me, right? No, they're not. So turn him heel, make him, the top heel. If you want to balance it out, maybe turn Seth Rollins a little bit. But they can either do that, or they can try to sweep it under the rug. And I think if they sweep it under the rug, it's going to fail.
Yeah, would you be surprised if they did that?
Just swept it
under the rug? Yeah.
No, that's the sad thing. Because he's their guy. I mean, he's literally been given the name The Guy. So they tend to do that a little bit here and there with some of the more important people, like Randy Orton. He had a couple of suspensions. You don't really hear that about that anymore. Edge had one. That went away real quick. So unless you're somebody who they can kind of punish a little bit, like a Connor or obviously Adam Rose, then I think that they're just kind of act like nothing happened.
Well,
that's a shame.
Definitely Roman Reigns is not on the level of Adam Rose, but... No.
He's not doing that bad.
He's not doing that. You won't see any mugshot, hopefully, in the near future on his t-shirt or anything like that. But, talking about then when they found out, a lot of people speculating, oh, did they find out Monday? Did they find out before Money in the Bank? To me, they would have had to known, but then again, maybe not, because they still promoted the triple threat. Now, the lucky part is 30 days, it's a couple days before the July 24th Battleground pay-per-view, the triple threat between Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. First of all, A, do you think he competes in that? And second of all, do you think it's right, you know, as we promote in other sports, how you got to suspend the person immediately? Do you think it's right for WWE to, maybe in a selfish reason, wait a couple days and then have him suspended like the Monday right after Raw?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the same as like the NBA or anything like that. There's not as much of a regulatory issue, so they can kind of get a little bit of leeway. And if you look at the two situations, do you either suspend him on the spot and then have to scramble around, figure out plans, or do you do something fun, give the fans something interesting, and do the whole Money in the Bank thing? It's better for business to do the Money in the Bank thing. So I don't know if they knew ahead of time. I mean, I'm kind of speculating that they did, because he took a clean loss, and that is really like a punishment right there. But as far as Battleground goes, I'm really curious why they haven't changed this yet. And if they did know it ahead of time, then going with the triple threat, I mean, we all thought this was happening at SummerSlam. They're moving it up to Battleground. They're going to keep that going. He's going to miss all the build up to that, but maybe that's actually a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think as much as, you know, people who are fans of Roman Reigns, guys that have, or I'll include myself, have kind of been hard on him in the sense that I feel like he has a lot of potential. He obviously has that look. He's dismissing that authenticity, that organic feel you have where this guy means what he's saying. Everything sounds scripted from Roman. And again, I'm not a huge fan of his in-ring style. But all that set aside, I think this is a blessing in disguise, because you take him away, the crowd already dislikes him. They're not going to dislike him even more when he does come back. And like you said, he always could turn heel on something like this. My question I want to ask you, too, is that you said, like, this could have been built up for SummerSlam, right? I mean, I was thinking, you know, Rollins, Reigns, SummerSlam, perfect fit, you know, depending on what time Rollins came back. When it comes to a match that I've been looking forward to ever since he signed with the WWE and made his debut at the Royal Rumble last year, or no, sorry, at the past Royal Rumble, was AJ Styles against John Cena. Really anticipated. I could have possibly thought maybe this was going to be a SummerSlam scenario. The outcome of what happened with AJ Styles and John Cena, I thought was kind of iffy. It would have been nice if he lost clean. But again, understanding that, I guess they want to, you know, continue this rivalry. Does this rivalry have enough momentum behind it in terms of AJ, what he brings to the table, to continue this rivalry and get more people still interested in it?
Well, the weird thing is that we don't know what's happening with this draft. And now, especially with Roman Reigns out of the picture, at least for the draft, because he's still going to be suspended at that time, they might end up changing their plans, you know, 180 from what they had originally. But I think we're still getting AJ versus Cena for the next two events. And I'm starting to get a little bit suspicious that this is going to follow the typical Cena pattern, where you've got he loses, but it's in kind of a dubious means. And then he wins the next two. And I think that people aren't going to really love that all that much. But AJ's a heel. You kind of can't have him just beat him clean. So if they go with maybe Cena wins clean at Battleground, and then they have to do like a last man standing match or a 2 out of 3 falls, something like that, where you can add a gimmick into SummerSlam, then I think that it does have legs.
If Cena were to lose, for example, say this is going 2 out of 3, we're hoping and anticipating it's going to be a three bout match between the two of them. Does it hurt Cena at this point in his career to lose clean to anybody?
Not at all. I mean, well, to anybody, yeah. I mean, if so, he's going to come out,
no, for example, AJ Styles, AJ needs this more.
Yeah, AJ can beat him, and Cena's not going to look hurt at all. Different story than if you had like No Way Jose pop up and he loses. But he's a bona fide main eventer, and he's had his time with Jericho. He's had some great matches with Roman Reigns. He's a guy that you don't have to worry about that with. I think that if he beats him clean, especially since people are going to be cheering for him anyway, that's going to be nothing that hurts Cena at all. I mean, he can really lose to a mid-carder. We had that whole thing with the U.S. title, the championship, U.S. Open Challenge. And he was having matches with Stardust. And Cody, unfortunately, didn't have that much pull at the time. And people were like, maybe he's going to win. So he's old enough. He's still a main eventer. He can put some people over. And Styles, he kind of needs a win. little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, it's time he does that because, you know, with Kevin Owens,
about time. I mean, AJ isn't getting any younger, is he?
No, no. Right, so yeah. You're expecting, you know, Kevin Owens was a little shocking when he won the first bout, and then, you know, of course, Cena gets his win back and then wins the other match. And so, you know, for AJ Styles, not that he needs it, but if he's going to head into the draft and he's going to be, say, like a top heel on SmackDown, you kind of want him going into with this, like, some momentum, you know, and especially if you want to have, like, legitimize the whole club, too, because you kind of want that.
Still don't like the name, though.
Yeah, yeah, no, the original, right? Yeah, original, right? And so heading into the draft and all that, but before we head into that, AJ Styles, the Stone Cold podcast, what did you think of it? I thought it was his best, Stone Cold's best interview so far that he's done for the network, and I think you really got to find out a lot about AJ Styles that you didn't know before. I wish they kind of did that with the club, with Gallows and Anderson, but what did you think of the podcast?
I was actually a big fan of it, and I haven't been liking the past couple of ones. Like the Page one, that was brutal.
Yeah.
And, the Brock Lesnar one wasn't anything to holler about either. I mean, I'm so interested to see what, you know, kind of equipment Brock Lesnar uses for hunting.
or his car, really interest what kind of car me. He's driving around now. I mean, I wanted to get right to it. But going back to AJ, though, I mean, you really got some insightful stuff, you know?
Yeah, his father abuse. I didn't expect that to come out there.
And TNA came out of the blue.
Yeah, he actually said the words this time, so... my favorite part of the whole thing was probably how he specifically mentioned that three of his, like, practically brothers, Kazarian, Samoa Joe, and Christopher Daniels, that was a good way to bring them into the mix. And now maybe we're going to start talking about those two extra guys coming into the company, too.
Well, they're going to need some, though, because, you know, especially with the draft coming up, you know, the rumors about bringing in extra guys over 40 kind of deviates from the new era. What do you think of that, bringing in guys that are a little bit older?
Good idea if they pick the right people. Bad mistake if they pick the wrong ones. I mean, Rey Mysterio left for a reason. He's too broken down. You can't trust him. Why spend as much money as he's probably going to ask for? But a guy like Carlito, I mean, the Shining Stars are doing jack on their own. They need him bad. And a guy like Shelton Benjamin, he really could have gotten a better pull when it came to what he did in ECW and such. So maybe they kind of bring them into the mid-card or so. MVP is another good guy. But I really would rather see them take a lot of these other guys that we're looking at, like the Bobby Roods and Daniels and Kazarian. And hell, maybe even throw them into the club. It's got to be a big club, right?
Yeah, I mean, you like to hope they're continuing the same moniker they did in New Japan. I mean, only one you know, time will tell on that one. But, you know, hopefully they change the name. It either turns to Balor Club or Styles Club or something. I just can't stand the club. Sounds like I've been watching the Breakfast Club or something like that.
They went to a board meeting and they're like, "Yeah, let's throw darts at this thing now. You know, it's been 15 minutes. Let's call it a day. Let's just call them the club. You know,
yeah, it's a bad episode of The Office or something like that.
Because it's not there. They didn't invent it, so they're like, why the heck give it any more thought than 15 minutes?
But Anthony.
Well, I mean, it's better than The Core with two R's.
And, oh, yeah.
they could have gone with the group, but maybe they just had, like, the Bullet Club on the wall, and somebody accidentally just knocked out the bullet part, and they were like, yeah, it's good enough.
You're talking about, you know, hiring talent that makes sense. I mean, a Kurt Angle this time maybe makes sense to help bring up a younger star. Who knows? Who knows how broken down he is, too. But when it comes to the draft itself, a big question I think everybody always keeps asking and it debates back and forth depending on who you're talking to is the WWE World Heavyweight title. So much has been brought up to bring these two titles together to make it unified now. And, you know, believe it or not a lot of time has passed since that time with John Cena and Randy Orton and the whole storyline with Shane McMahon trying to get control of the WWE, in essence, trying to control Raw. So when you bring a secondary title, does it diminish a little bit of the storylines you put in there? Or is it just something typical that we see from WWE where they build things up and then they'll just break it down no matter what just to make sense storyline-wise?
Well, I might alienate myself a little bit here. I'm 100% against the draft in its entirety.
Thank you.
Me too.
I hated that.
You finally met somebody that agreed with
Anthony,
us.
Anthony, you invest your time watching 3 hours of Raw, right? And then SmackDown, I wouldn't watch because I would just like skim through it. And then, you know, I write for NXT, so I do that. But that's too much time for a person like me that's working crazy to focus now, what, 6 hours on wrestling in a week?
On top of all the other things they want you to watch, too. If they want you to watch Camp WWE and they want you to watch the podcast and they want you to check out the YouTube channel – I've got a life outside of WWE a little bit here, guys. You know, it's like And yeah, I kind of sacrificed SmackDown a little bit when they run to 3 hours, because even a 3-hour episode of Raw is sometimes too hard to get through. And then you throw in a pay-per-view week. Now they're talking about maybe adding double pay-per-views per month. Not a chance. And if you add another belt on top of that, well, then the championship doesn't even mean anything anymore, because we finally got into this groove where the championship means a lot. And you've got these guys like the Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio types, where they weren't, I don't want to say that they weren't good enough, because they are. And the people that know me,
where they weren't given the time, they weren't given the opportunity to kind of shine on their own, get over on their own.
Anthony, right? I have no problem with, you know, going live. It's maybe it's smart too, but it's an indictment on WWE and on creative, because you have 3 hours on Raw. You can get people on there. You can give them the time that they deserve, but they don't. They have dumb sketches. They do these crazy, you know, dumb commercials. They do anything but wrestling. And I think there was a time where they did a tally of how many minutes there were of non-wrestling stuff, and it was like 2-1. And it, to me, it's an indictment on creative, because you had that time on Raw, and now what you're going to do is you're going to hurt NXT by taking people off their roster, and then you're going to also hire, you know, people from the outside, which you don't want to do, because you want to give people a shot just to even out the rosters. To me, the only way this works is if there's consistency, and the track record from the WWE shows that that's not going to happen.
The only thing consistent is inconsistency, basically. And like you're saying, I mean, they take out, you got a 3-hour episode of Raw, you take out the obligatory half an hour intro promo that happens every single week, and all it does is set up the main event, which kind of makes you question, did they never have a main event set up already? Or like Shane and Stephanie just kind of going, well, let's see what happens at the first half hour, and then we'll set up the main event for the night. And you take out all the commercials, you take out the Raw Rewind, the SmackDown Rebound, or whatever the hell they want to call it this week, and the, you know, extraneous things that just kind of bog down the time. I mean, a 1-hour show is already only 48 minutes when you take out normal commercials. You probably have a good hour and a half that's just nonsense. And if you're going to tack that on to me having to watch that on SmackDown too, you got 5-6 hours of programming, and maybe you're giving me 2.5-3. How about you just use that time to use the other people? And if you want to add more people on the roster, great. But you have the ability to use them if you want to, and I don't think that they do. And that's what's kind of sad about it.
There's no excuse why they can't use the roster that they have.
No, I mean, we have people. We had that whole issue with the injuries, and they were bankrupt of talent because they had to start using all the people that they never used anymore. Like somebody like a Zack Ryder, who I like. I'm a big fan of Zack Ryder, but you know, realistically, he's not a main event guy. They went from not using him for, what, 1.5 years? And then they were like, oh, crap, suddenly he's in the Intercontinental title picture, because they just didn't use him. And it's a shame.
Going back to Money in the Bank, though, Dean Ambrose cashing it in and then becoming the champion. Of course, a lot of people thinking that, you know, Seth Rollins beat Roman Reigns clean because he did fail the wellness policy. And so now having Dean Ambrose go forward as your champion, what were your thoughts on that? Did you like the way it ended? And how do you think Dean is doing so far?
I'm so sold on Dean Ambrose as champion. I mean, I think that this guy's been pulling out the best, yeah, probably the best babyface act that we've had in years. So I don't know why they didn't go with him instead of Roman to begin with. He was getting better reactions, you know, all across the board. But this is a guy that I think they are even underestimating how popular he can be. So with him as the champion, and I hope that he's the only champion too, going back to that draft thing. I don't want that second world title. Make me just have Dean Ambrose as a champion. He can go between the brands or whatever, however you want to do it, and make him the next Stone Cold, basically. I mean, that is an act that got over more than anything other than Hulk Hogan. Dean Ambrose is one of those guys that's got the charisma. He's good in the ring. He's great on promos. He's different. So if the Roman Reigns act isn't working, Seth Rollins has had his time a little bit. He needs to kind of get back into the swing of things. And we've already seen that before, so why just go back to that? Ambrose, perfect in this position right now. I'm really digging that.
Do you think that a lot of this might have occurred with due to the whole Roman Reigns suspension, 30 days, because we can only speculate and be, you know, observers of what's going on. Do you really think maybe in your heart of hearts that the WWE will probably give him a lengthy title reign? Because it was supposed to be Roman Reigns that had the lengthy title reign. I was, you know, and it kind of got cut short.
Yeah, we basically went to WrestleMania for nothing.
I don't know. I mean, that's...
Can you see Dean Ambrose having a lengthy title reign here in terms of, you know, obviously he's going to feud maybe when Rollins comes back, with Roman Reigns. Rollins, he's got history there, but they've already kind of done that, but not from the other atmosphere where now he's the champion facing Rollins. Do you think Ambrose has enough to work with for him to get a lengthy title reign in this end, or is it just going to be similar to like what they're doing right now? They're still promoting the triple threat match, so is it just assumption that Roman Reigns is coming back in this and, you know, who knows, maybe be a four-time champion?
No, he can't win it. There's no way, Anthony, he can win it at Battleground again.
This is the WWE we're talking about.
No, there's no way Roman Reigns can win it at Battleground if he's in it. There's no way.
I don't know. I'm starting to think he might, actually. This is what's weird about the situation, because if they do turn him heel, imagine the reaction he gets if he wins. Everybody will hate him so much. I don't think that it will happen. I mean,
Now it makes sense. It kind of makes sense, Anthony. You kind of shed some light, because here I'm thinking Roman Reigns is the only one left to screw anybody, because Seth screwed Roman. Seth screwed Dean. Dean screwed both of them. So the only person left to stick it to these guys is Roman.
Yeah, and he could just come out on Monday Night Raw and say, yeah, I took some shortcuts. I juiced up. Why not? It got me the championship again, didn't it? The hell with all of you who are booing me. But I do think it's going to be Ambrose retaining, and I think he's actually going to pin Roman as like more of a punishment. But as far as the reign goes, I'm thinking Survivor Series is the end for Ambrose. Not like totally. He'll get the belt again, but that's usually around the time frame where they like to switch things up a little bit. And we don't know what's happening with the Royal Rumble with this brand split. So normally it's a babyface winning that. Or if Dean Ambrose does hold it all the way to WrestleMania, we're going to get some kind of a heel. So maybe that's going to be Owens. Maybe that's going to be Styles. But Ambrose right now, I think he's at least good enough until Survivor Series, unless they want to do this weird thing with Roman Reigns.
You know, it's a great time to be a fan right now. I wanted to ask you, what kind of dove you into this? I mean, have you been a fan all your life? Like Jeff and I, we remember watching it back in the 1990s, Hogan, Warrior, Macho Man, Randy Savage, all that stuff, and kind of never grew out of it, you know? We're like kids still, and we still love it, and we want to bring some legitimacy to it. What got you started in wrestling and wanting to cover it the way you do?
Well, I originally don't know what started me. I know that there's a picture that hopefully is not floating around the internet of me as like a...
I'm sure we'll find it.
Yeah, as like a three-year-old, and I'm dressed up as Hulk Hogan for Halloween. So I was watching it at least back then, but I know for a fact that I was actually a big fan when it came to WrestleMania 12, because I know I went back before I looked at old like report cards, old like, journals that I had for different classrooms and stuff like that. And I remember seeing an entry where it was like, you know, what did you do this weekend? And I was like, I watched WrestleMania 12 and I'm so glad that Shawn Michaels won and all this other kind of stuff. But I took a lot of time off eventually. It got to, I think, 90, like tail end of 99, and I couldn't take it anymore. I was getting into middle school, so a lot of people didn't think it was cool anymore. And then I was kind of, you know, like, yeah, I don't watch it either.
You gave into peer pressure, Anthony?
I gave in.
Yeah. Oh, no, man.
But I did the opposite eventually, because
exactly.
A friend of mine who's been a part of a lot of the stuff that I work on, Chris Dace, he sent me a message one day. He was just kind of like, yo, did you see the DX is back in 2006? And I was just like, all right, I'm turning it back on. And in 2007 or so, I was just like, I have to admit that I'm still a wrestling fan. I can't just kind of watch like, you know, one event every once in a while and go, no, I don't really like it anymore. And then from then on, it was just like, all right, let me go to message boards. Let me get involved in that. Let me start my own site. Because, you know, screw the message boards. I don't want to talk to all those people.
There's so many voices, right, to deal with at one time. Yeah. But, I mean, believe it or not, when you really sit back and reflect, and not to age us or anything like that or make us feel old, but at the same time, we were kind of around the time where it was the great era to watch wrestling. At WCW, WWE, or WWF at the time before they got the F out. And we had the Monday Night Wars, which is the greatest thing in the world to watch.
I was on that, hooked on that, because I actually thought that Razor Ramon was actually Razor Ramon in WCW, you know? And I was like, oh, man, they're invading, you know?
Right.
And it was as real as possible, you know? And that's what got me hooked, you know? Again, you know, I never stopped watching, but, you know, there was a there was a lull when Vince had those guys coming in, like, you know, the gimmicks guys, like the plumber and the, you know, and
T.L. Hopper, yeah.
And, you know, the hockey guy and Isaac Yankem. And I was watching and I was like, you know, it's just, am I getting too old for it? That's what kind of I felt like. But then when I flipped and I saw WCW with the reality kind of angles, you know, it kind of had my juices flowing again.
Yeah, NWO really helped save this whole business. Because that was like, I was always a WWE guy, or WWF back in the day. But, you know, you've got your friends, you all kind of watch a little bit of both, and somebody comes into school the next day and they go, did you see what happened to WCW? And it's like, no, I was watching Duke the Dumpster Drosy do stuff instead. And eventually you start watching because of the NWO, and they got Sting, who's doing some cool stuff. Goldberg was awesome back then. Now he's a shell of himself. And, you know, I kind of started switching over a little bit more, and I always had a firm pro WWE stance, but WCW was really doing some great stuff back then. They had Jericho too for a little bit there.
That roster was loaded, man.
Oh, that roster was fantastic.
I mean, I loved their format too, and this is how maybe 3 hours could have worked there. You know, they had the cruiserweight starting up the first hour, and it kind of led into the main event. But I just, you know, I think Bischoff and WCW, they had some great ideas, and I think if you're going to have a 3-hour show like Raw does, you should copy a little bit of the format that WCW did, because again, they gave you like the appetizer matches in the first hour, you know, and then the second hour and leading into the third hour, the main events were. I think that's something that WWE should really look into. You know, there's nothing wrong going back to the past for some stuff, you know, because it's been 20 years. And here's another thing too that I was talking to Brian about, and to me, I thought really when the club came in, and I was like, wow, this could be something huge, because, you know, and I was reading somewhere like every 5 years WWE messes something up. Like, to me, they messed up the whole Punk angle, where Punk came back like a week after taking the title and re-signing, and kind of ruined the whole thing, you know. Same thing with the Invasion angle, you know. So they tend to mess things up, and here you had a shot to have the club become something unique, something NWO-ish, right? And I'm telling Brian, it's been 20 years. Just go back, follow the same steps that they did, and just book it the same way, and you're going to have something special with the club. And to me, up until recently where AJ Styles joined it back again, to me, it kind of was starting to fizzle.
The whole club thing in general?
Yeah, to me. Yeah, because Anderson and Gallows shouldn't have wrestled on Raw. Their first match should have been on a pay-per-view. Make it special, you know?
I can agree and disagree kind of at the same time. I do think that they need to do something a little different with, like, adding some more people or whatever, but I also don't want them to go too much in NWO, because we eventually got to the point where we had, like, Horace and all those other people, and it was like,
oh, no, but think about this. Think about this angle, and I'm not a booker. I'm not saying I'm smarter than anybody, right? But if you really wanted,
we're smart bookers, right?
So you would have had them leading up to, AJ Styles or Finn Balor would have been great to be the leaders, right? But say you have something where, like, they're all in it, and then absolutely, you know, and then Cena was hurt, and if he would have just, you know, if they would have waited and they would have let it gone through the summer and have, just like Hogan came out, have John Cena be the leader of the club or something else, it would have been huge.
Oh, it definitely would have been. Here's something I want to toss out there. This is something that might never happen, especially now with the current thing that's going on this week. But if they keep it to three of them, just imagine how crazy it's going to be if we get the three members of the club versus the three members of the Shield.
No, That'd be great.
That's the biggest thing that they can do right now, because as much as I love The New Day, been a fan of The New Day ever since they first started airing vignettes, and everybody was like, this looks garbage. I was like, this is amazing. It's still just not going to be as good if you get The New Day versus The Shield, or New Day versus The Club compared to The Shield. That's John Cena's already out of the way. They're the next biggest thing that you can do, because, I mean, what are you going to build up to? The Club versus... I don't even know who would be in the Cesaro.
Well, there's a lot of good three-man groups right now. I mean, I think you've got New Day, you've got The Club, you also got the Wyatts.
And a three-man band. Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, I think that there is a potential, you know, to do something like that down the road. But yeah, definitely, though, I think Shield and Club would be great, like one of those days if the stars aligned and, you know, and the Shield actually, you know, saw eye to eye. But, you know, that'd be great, too.
Speaking of the stars aligning,
War Games, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Love War Games.
I'm going to watch it right now after we're finished doing this. I'm going to watch War Game. That was a great concept. I didn't like World War III when he had three rings. I thought that was just way too much. It was like
overkill.
100 men over the top of a battle royal,
yeah,
like
60
to,
guys, yeah,
to do better than Royal Rumble.
Nobody thought Juventud would win. It was like, come on.
No, and as Jericho says, he's the ugliest man in professional wrestling. Sorry, Juventud, but it's true. You are. That's why you wore the mask. But we still love you for it anyway. You guys were just talking about, you know, potential matchups and booking, and we all, like I said before, like to think we're smart bookers, and you have our fantasy matchups we always want to see. The thing with me is NXT is, obviously, I love it. I can't speak for you guys, but I'm sure you guys have enthusiasm for NXT too, because it kind of brings us back to how we used to enjoy wrestling, right?
Yeah, I mean, NXT is kind of like if you take WWE and you put it through a little sieve and you just boil it down to whatever you need out of like a wrestling fan's show without all the extra crap. Like, I don't watch WWE to see, and I hate to pick on them, but this week in particular, Natalya is terrible this week. She had that segment where she was flopping around on the ground trying to make that tag at Money in the Bank. She did this thing with Becky Lynch where she attacks her and says that she's going to stand up for herself now. I don't watch it for that. I don't care. No, go out in the ring and do something.
I mean, I felt so bad for Becky Lynch that I wanted to actually be there and console her. Because I was like, oh, Becky, nobody loves you. Come over here. I love my Irish little last kicker. But
just don't talk because the accent's terrible.
I actually like the accent, believe it or not. Really? I know it was kind of tough to begin with. Again, I love accents too because I was such a fan of Emma too and that Australian accent. Man, Jeff loved Paige too.
He's exotic, like, you know.
See, Paige, her accent, I can dig as long as she's not shouting.
Yeah.
That whole, this is my house. And,
and my big concern, Anthony, is when these guys get brought up to the main roster, especially a guy like Finn Balor, do you get worried he's going to get, as Jeff said, lost in the shuffle like Paige did? Or like, look at Tyler Breeze. He's going to get lost, and we as wrestling fans are going to be cringing the fact that they're not using Finn Balor and this is going to be the main top guy.
Well, that's the only benefit for this brand split is if they really start pushing it where, like, there's no crossover, there's no super shows, none of that kind of brand split but not a brand split kind of crap that they used to do in the past. Like, if we get full-on maybe 10, 20 more people added to the roster, then I think that we've got a little bit of breathing room, and some of these people are going to be good. Finn Balor's a star. He's going to be a good guy no matter what, but I worry about the guys that are kind of struggling a little bit, like a Mojo Rawley. He's going to be in NXT for a long time, and if he's already in his, like, probably mid-30s, I would assume, or at least he looks like he is, he's somebody who, by the time he comes up, he's not going to really make it, and he'll eventually just get released. But you know what, though? At least one positive thing, if they're bringing people that are over 40 back to the company, well, you could just get rehired, you know, the next week, right?
Yeah, right. But of course we're talking to Anthony Mango, and we really want to thank you for your time and thank you for coming on the High Spot Podcast here.
We could talk to you for hours and hours about wrestling.
You know what's a good thing, and I end up telling the guests, we sometimes end up going, you know, because there's no time limit here, and we talk as long as we want. The thing is that we end up finding out from everybody is that we love wrestling and we love talking about it, and once we start, you know, getting into it and start getting accustomed to one another, we realize, wow, we're fans more than anything.
I don't speak for a lot of people, Jeff, but Anthony, I will speak for you in this sense that I can understand just by talking to you, couple of questions we had, you appreciate the artistry, the story, and the art of what professional wrestling is, because we still call it pro wrestling. We don't call it sports entertainment anymore.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you can't grow up a Shawn Michaels fan and not, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker have been my top two favorites of all time, and you got the guy who's the best in the ring telling the stories, and you got an undead vampire guy. It's like the two best of both worlds when it comes to that. So,
who's the guy right now that you have to pay attention, that you have to watch every time he's on?
Kevin Owens, for sure.
Yes. I'm telling you. Him and Jericho's dialogue between each other, I laughed. I laughed so hard with him, Jericho, and Del Rio just being the quiet guy in there when they had their little, interaction.
A little spat about speaking English
and
everything.
And then the perros I see is, and you know what I mean?
Guys.
And then also, Jericho. I give credit to Jericho. Look,
I don't think he gets enough credit.
This heel thing that he's doing now is just so entertaining. and just let, you know, let the Jericho sink in, you know? That's
Nah, it's drink it in.
Drink it in. Drink it in.
Yeah. You've been drinking in the High Spot Podcast. We got to let Anthony go. Anthony, we appreciate your time, man. We don't want you to be a stranger. And like I said, hopefully you can come back on again and we can talk down the road for SummerSlam, WrestleMania. Before you know, these things will be right around the corner and then we'll have more things to. I don't think we complain, but we're just very passionate about it. We want things to be better, don't we?
Oh, for sure. You can never get better, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Anthony, thanks for having me on, man. We'll be glad to come back again. I'd love to have you on Smart Guy Moment, too.
Awesome. Where are you? Where do you work out of? Where are you right now?
I'm in New Jersey, around like the Philly area.
Oh, sweet. Okay, so we're Jersey guys, too. So any plans for
North Jersey or South Jersey?
North Jersey.
So now we got to hate each other, right?
Yes. Exactly. Hey, why is it that Southern Jersey people are like Philly fans, they're Flyer fans? I don't get it.
Wait,
you're still part of New Jersey.
Well, no, they're Philly. If they're down in South Jersey, they're Philly. That's what they are.
Pretty much.
Listen, me, man.
Anthony, man, thanks so much. You going to be around for SummerSlam? Any plans for that?
You know, I actually might try to even go. And now that they did this whole thing with Ticketmaster and giving out vouchers and stuff, I'm like, hey, maybe I'll try to get some standing room seats or something.
Hey, why not, man? Thank you so much. And, of course, we were talking to Anthony Mango. Follow him on Twitter at here we go. Toe as your toe, knee as your knee, slap your knee, and then Mango the fruit. I mean, how smart is that?
Yeah, easiest is just at Smarkout Moment. It's got links all over the place.
Exactly. Make it easier.
Or you can do that. Thanks, Anthony, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
And a special thanks goes out to Anthony Mango again. Catch all the stuff he does. He's a host. He does a lot of contributions for Bleacher Report. You can catch him on the website smarkoutmoment.com. Again, catch him on his Twitter handle. Anything connected to him, he'll post on there. At Tony Mango. Just the way you pronounce it and you say it. It's a human toe with a knee. A man, and going and going and going. So it was great to have him there. I like the way I did that, right?
I love that. Except I said Mango the Fruit. Would have made it much easier. But no, great insight Anthony Mango.
Why not?
It's a delicious fruit, especially in the summertime. But man, just like we said, July is going to be a busy month for us, the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. And also, Anthony Mango, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Don't be a stranger, man. Don't be a stranger.
Really great insight. Definitely a fan of just wrestling. And that's what we like to do, guys. We like to bring you fans and get a fan's perspective as well. And just great things ahead for him. And hopefully we meet up at SummerSlam if you can get those nosebleed sections. Off Ticketmaster.
We definitely know we're going there too. We got a nice little package deal. And who knows? A lot of things to look forward to as the summer continues. I mean, the start of summer only happened a short while ago, and it's great to be in it. But, you know, before you know, it's gone. So before it leaves, we want to enjoy it for all it's worth. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, you guys are listening to the High Spot Podcast right now. You can catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. And Jeff, one of the members of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, all I can say is, man, are we going to have fun this summer?
Oh, it's going to be nice. It's going to be too sweet.